You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Tomorrow is the start of the annual San Ignacio Festival in downtown Boise. The event is named after St. Ignatius of Loyola, the patron saint of the Basques. This free three-day event runs through Sunday, and as always, there will be lots of Basque dancing, food, as well as live music. And if you visit the Basque Block to check out the festivities this weekend, you might want to consider stopping into the Basque Museum, where a new exhibit is on display. And joining us in studio is Patty Miller. She is the curator of the exhibit called Inner Strength, Portraits of Basque Women. She's also the director of the Basque Community History Project. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so Patty, there are lots of people that move into Boise and maybe haven't heard of the Idaho Basque population. So if people don't know much about it or maybe don't know much about the Basque country, just quickly kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, how they got here, when that happened.
The Basque region is up in, it's what's now the northern part of Spain and southern part of France. And the unique thing about the Basques is their language. They speak a language that on a linguistic chart they stick over on the side. It's called Euskera. And they started leaving their homeland early on in the 1500s, whaling and as mariners and missionaries. It ended up actually even in California as early as the 1500s. But it's about the time that Idaho became a state that they showed up here in Boise, about 1890. And they started coming more than anything for work. And for young men, they could find jobs herding sheep. That was a great opportunity in the ranges of the West. And for women, they could find their foot in the door, maybe working at a boarding house or working for a family.
And it's something, too, where there is such a rich history of the Basque community in Idaho. And I have to admit, when I moved here 20 years ago, it was the first time that I'd ever heard of the Basque people. Do you hear that a lot when people wander into the museum?
Sure. You know, we have all sorts of visitors, many that have known nothing about Basque. Some come from communities throughout the West where there was a Basque population. But our first, the entry of the exhibit kind of shows where the Basque region is, the size in relation to Idaho. The whole Basque region could fit in the largest county of our state of Idaho. And then we try to feature stories to kind of orient people about the culture. And on the Basque Block there, mm-hmm. they could experience things like food because there's restaurants. There's, of course, taverns that are part of the recreation of Basque. So the Bar Guernica and the Basque mm-hmm. Center have bars in them. And then the museum is kind of the educational portion. So it's a great teaching tool for people.
So let's talk about this new project. And you mentioned, you know, Basque women coming over and they could work in boarding houses and things like that. So what are you hoping, first off, tell us about the idea about the project and then what you're hoping people will learn from it.
The project actually started in the fall of 1997 when a social anthropologist, Begoña Pichar-Roman, contacted me and she was interested in interviewing immigrant Basque women because she'd been doing research and there was quite a bit of work done on Basque men, but the women's story wasn't told. And I was very interested in trying to help her. So we started with that. And then a couple years later, after she had done a number of interviews and left copies with the museum, we found a wonderful photographer, Peter Oberlin-Docker, who's actually a geologist by trade, but takes beautiful black and white environmental photos. And so Peter jumped in with us and photographed many of the women in the first interview series. A few more were done in the next year, so there were a total of 41 photographs taken, and we would use excerpts from the oral histories as part of the panel, the interpretive panel. And then 2 years ago, when Boise State University opened the Eloise Garmendia Beter Chair at the university, they asked us to exhibit all the photographs. So all 41 were on display for the first time. And Peter Oberlin-Docker came and he said, I thought this exhibit was going to go to the Basque country. And I said, I told you it wasn't going to go till we had 100 women. And so that jump started it. The Idaho Humanities Council graciously gave us a grant. Peter started taking photos, and we decided to go ahead and include 90 to 100-year-old women that had been born here as well, the first generation here. So there's actually 110 women included in the exhibit. 69 were taken over the course of the last year. And so their photographs are featured. And those are wonderful in themselves. And then the excerpts from the the oral history, some of them.
So why focus specifically on women? Is it because we, as you said, we know a lot about the history of Basque men, but not about women?
The women, you know, they played a very important role, especially in the preserving the culture and so many elements of that. And their story just wasn't told. And so this was a way to collect that information through their oral histories and then to kind of, you know, as a way of respect to show that they, too, played an important role in this immigration story.
So you have 110 photos and oral histories. How many generations? I mean, because when you say you have women up to 90 years old, how far, how young does it go as well?
Well, we do have some that have moved here recently. So we went ahead and included some of those women who have come over in the last even 10 or 20 years, and many of them came as instructors, either teaching Basque language or as instructors in our preschool here in Boise, and then married and stayed, or one was actually born in the United States but went was taken to the Basque Country when she was just a few months old and then returned. So we included their stories as well.
So how did you get the oral history part of it? How did you collect that? Because you talked about the photos. How do you get their actual history?
You have to just go and meet with them. Most of them, we met with them in their homes. Some did come to the museum, but most of them were in their homes. And the Community History Project that the museum has been involved in since 2016, I mean, it's just a grassroots try to identify longstanding families in a community and then go and meet with them. So the exhibit also includes a video segments. Not all of the women are included in the photographs, but we have them as telling their stories of themselves or their mothers, and so people can sit and listen for a few minutes to those too.
Oh, that must be really pretty emotional, I think, to have a woman talk about her mother or telling her mother's story.
Yeah, and we also, we ask, you know, do you remember your grandparents? And we receive some of those stories. And in the oral history recordings, we usually, or one of our last questions is, what is something that your parents taught you that you now have passed on to your children? And so in the hopes that that story will be something that will be important and something their children will hold on to as well.
We're talking with Patty Miller, the Basque Community History Project, about the Basque History Community History Project. If I can spit that out, Patty, she's curated an exhibit on display at the Basque Museum, and it will open tomorrow and Saturday during the San Ignacio Festival. So, Patty, can you read an excerpt about one of the women?
Sure. This is a story by Cecilia Arrien Aldana Juglard, and she was born in 1909 in the area of Guernica that Boise is sister cities with, and she was in her late 20s during the Spanish Civil War. So she says, "The worst war of the wars, the worst in the world, is a civil war. Brothers, sisters, fathers, sons and daughters, cousins, friends, fighting against each other. When Guernica was attacked, I remember running into a shelter. I was with no family members. The cook from my sister's restaurant came with me. We were told to open our mouths when bombs exploded. I don't think we could have done otherwise. We were there till midnight. Then I met a sister. We were alive. We weren't hurt, but we could not stop crying. We started running on all fours, and we lost our shoes. We crawled to get into another hiding place, and the stones were falling down from everywhere. I thought I was going to be buried by them. I hid in the woods, and when everything was over and I explained where I was, someone told me, 'You are never going to die.' I suppose now he was right." So Cecilia ended up coming to the Basque Country coming to Idaho 4 years after this story, and she came with a sister and met a sister that was waiting for her in Shoshone.
Oh,
and
my
so
gosh.
There are kind of sad stories like that, but there are some happy stories included in the exhibit as well.
You know, you were recently speaking at an event in Boise talking about the different generations of Basque women and how that's kind of evolved when it comes to their heritage. And I've noticed that meeting younger Basque women, they're very proud of their heritage and want people to know about it. But you say that wasn't always the case.
Well, I mean, the Basques face some discrimination here in Idaho, just like other ethnic groups. And, you know, if you're in the grocery store and somebody's speaking another language, you don't know if they're talking about the tomatoes or the color of your pants, you know. So the language barrier, as soon as Basques in various communities started to learn to speak English, other people in the community realized, oh, they're pretty hard workers and they like to have a good time and they're pretty good people. Then they assimilated into the communities quite well. And so it's interesting because we have many people come into the Basque Museum from all over the place. And I remember a guy from, I think it was from Puerto Rico, came in and he said, "You Basque, it doesn't matter where you are. If I ask you, are you Puerto Rican?" He said, "You always stand up 2 inches taller and say, no, I'm Basque." So I think there is a pride in the culture. And certainly now we as grandchildren and now great-grandchildren and even further on, it is something to be proud of. But it's also something that, you know, you kind of have to decide that you're going to practice your culture because there's so much in American life to do mm-hmm. that, you know, it takes time. And parents that say they have a commitment to take their children to dancing or to music, and people that are not of Basque descent singing in the Beotzetik Basque choir that are keeping that part of our culture alive. And so, you know, it takes a village, I guess, right. both Basque and non-Basque, to keep the culture going.
What was it? What was the reaction from the women when you approached them to be a part of this?
Many of the women, they said, "Well, I don't have anything to say. You know, I have nothing important about my story." But we know, I mean, all
Everybody
of our
does.
Lives have important things
yeah.
in them. And so that for many of them, that was the thing, is I really don't have anything to contribute or there's nothing special about my life. But for all of them, whether they, you know, were married and, you know, had families and left that legacy, or the work that they did and hours that they spent of things preserving the culture, or just the women that said, "I'm going to have my children speak Euskera," and, you know, that's a tough thing living in this country to have the children speak a second language. And so mm-hmm. many of them made that effort as well.
So bottom line for you, what are you hoping the takeaway is for people that come through the exhibit?
I hope that they look at the beautiful photographs, and I hope that they capture really what is the inner strength of many of these women.
And again, tell us when the exhibit is officially open. People can come see it.
It opened the end of April, and so the museum will be open. Our regular hours in the summer go from 10 to 5. So today will be open from 10 to 5 and tomorrow. And then during the festival, I think we're open from about 10 to 4 on Saturday. And then if you work during the day and want to come down, we're open on first Thursdays, and it's free admission. And the museum's open from 5:30 to 8:30, and we have tours of the historic house and usually some local musicians playing some music. So.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this. So important to share those stories, as you said, and keep them alive. It's the only way to do it.
Thank you.
Our guest today, Patty Miller. We were talking about the new exhibit at the Boise Basque Museum. Up next, what happens when a New York City artist moves to a Wyoming town with a population of 93? Well, we're going to find out. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.